The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison and you did not visit me.' Then they will also answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. Another end time reading. What am I going to do with this one? So which are you, a sheep or a goat? I mean, isn't that what you kind of think when you hear this? Which side am I going to be on? How to become a sheep? At first hearing, it sounds kind of obvious. Sheep take care of their neighbor in need, hungry, thirsty, cold, in prison, and do it as to God himself without even knowing it. So, how are you doing with that? Are you a sheep? See, if the point of this parable is for me to try to get you to be sheep, then I should tell you to try harder. Open your eyes to your neighbor's need. Do more. Care for the least of these. And then when this reading comes back around in another 3 years, I will ask you the same thing. So which one are you? Try harder. Do more. Notice your neighbor. Open your eyes. But when do you get assured whether you're a sheep or a goat? See, I think that that's how we usually hear this parable and actually a lot of Jesus' other teaching and parables and sayings as a demand to try harder, to be more intentional at doing what we think God wants us to do. Be a good person, a good Christian, a good disciple. But in thinking that way, we totally get backwards this parable. Because if you listen closely, the sheep were not intentional at all. They had no idea that they'd helped anybody. "Lord, when did we see you?" Surprisingly, the point of this parable is not to try so hard, and a few other things. As a matter of fact, though, the goats were the ones who were intentional, tried to be good, tried to serve. Why else would they ask, "When did we see you and not take care of you, King?" They were running through their minds over all the times that they did their good deeds and helped the poor. "When did we not do it, King?" "We did it, and we know how many times, too, because we're supposed to." Well, there are three real points to this parable. First, a minor point. The King, God, identifies with those who are least valued in our world, those the easiest to forget when things are going okay, when you have a job, when you can fill your belly, the homeless, the hungry, the imprisoned, the invisible ones. Not too many surprises here coming from Jesus, who himself dined with the dregs of society in an era when religious rules about food and dining were scrupulous and forbade that. That's the first point. God identifies with the invisible ones. Second, and here's the real kicker, the goats thought they were sheep. The goats, the bad ones, thought they were sheep. And the sheep thought they were goats. The sheep had no idea they'd done all of these good works as to God himself. And the goats wanted to debate the point that they didn't take care of the poor. Third point, and the main point of this parable, is that in the end, God is in control, not you nor me, and our limited idea of justice. The parable is not an explanation of what to do to get into heaven. It's not how to become good sheep 101. This parable is about who God is. And in the end, God is just and in control. This is the third end of time, last day parable in a row that Matthew tells his community. And we heard them all in a row too, the last 3 weeks. First I'll say that the end of time, a day of reckoning, was a belief that developed thousands of years ago when faithful Jews realized that if God's justice didn't happen in this life, that it would have to take place, a day of reckoning would have to take place somehow, so that God and justice and goodness would be victorious in the end and everybody would see it. So the last day is a justice issue. Christians understand this as the return of Christ, the second coming, when Christ will come to judge the living and the dead, as we say in our creeds. On that day, evil and sin will be judged and sent to eternal punishment. Only goodness and mercy will remain forever under Christ's reign. And early Christians had expected Jesus to return in their own lifetime. And when he didn't, they were confused and had all sorts of questions. For Matthew's community, the question appears to be, well, what do we do while we wait for Jesus to return, especially now that we're kind of getting persecuted by everybody else? How to wait? Parable of the Bridesmaids invites us to wait with joy, trusting that the bridegroom really is coming, even though it might not look like it. The parable of the talents last week encourages the community to wait with a sense of joy and freedom, taking risks with what we have in this world. This parable, the parable of the sheep and the goats, encourages the community of faith to trust that God is in charge in the end, that justice will happen by God's hand, and, surprisingly, I think, don't get over-religious about the whole thing. You see, this parable in many ways is a criticism of those who try really hard to be religious, to help, to take care of everybody else, who try so hard to do all the good that they can. When did we not see you? We know we've seen you. We've helped you. We did all that we should do and we're supposed to do. Nope, Jesus says, that's not the way to live, counting and measuring your actions. Rather, trust that Christ will judge evil and good in the end. And just go about your life. And you have to imagine that this is spoken to a community that's suffering, that's being persecuted. Profoundly important for them to hear. They were yearning for Christ to come back. They were being persecuted and injustice was being done to them. So they were yearning for justice to take place. Don't take justice into your own hands, the parable says. Wait for Christ, who will judge. Which is very different than most of us, not all of us. Sometimes we also feel like we're going through suffering. Actually, we do go through suffering and some persecution in life. But a lot of the time, not only do we not yearn for Christ to come again, but we kind of think that if Christ came, it would kind of interrupt things and be a little bit on the inconvenient side. Life is fine as it is. See how upside down that is. Like the fat sheep in the first reading who God serves with justice. These parables help us to remember who's in control in the end. Not you, not me. We are all accountable to God. And in either case, whether we're suffering or not, we are simply to live life trusting God. And our eyes will then naturally be open to our neighbor in need as we have faith in God. We don't need to keep count of our deeds. We can trust that we'll simply respond in the moment as we see a need or as we see an injustice. So again, these parables are not about the final judgment. They don't reveal the mechanics of what happens on the last day. Christians already know what happens on the last day. And for those, though, I'll go through it. I went through it last week, but because we hear this and we get kind of paralyzed, for those who are still worried whether you're a sheep or a goat, listen to this. Listen up. The final judgment already took place on the cross. Sin and evil were found guilty. God triumphed over them by raising Jesus from the dead. God on the cross decided for the whole human race, guilty and forgiven. And you were baptized into this final judgment, just as little Alexander, who every Sunday has been so quiet for the last 6 weeks, just as little Alexander will be baptized into this final judgment, guilty, sinful, self-centered, all about me, and forgiven. God triumphed over the sin in each one of you, declared you forgiven, declared you a saint in baptism. And until the day you die, you will have both sinner and saint, just as we all do, both mixed up in there. And God continues to judge the sinner in each of us, guilty, and then also continues to raise up the saint in us, freeing us without us having to try harder or do something, freely, gift, pure grace. And how does he do this? By the word. As you read it and study it, as you gather together with brothers and sisters in Christ and hear it proclaimed in the sermon, in the liturgy, as you hear it sung in the hymns, all so that you can leave today with a sense that you are free, with a sense of joy in living, at least today, with a sense of freedom with a sense of living in the moment, trusting that Christ will be in control in the end. Christ, the King, powerful in weakness, wise in foolishness. Christ, our crucified King. Amen.